The continuing failure of U.S. and British forces to find biological or chemical weapons in Iraq is having political repercussions back home. Congress and the British Parliament are considering investigations into whether intelligence findings about illegal weapons in Iraq were exaggerated in order to justify the decision to go to war. U.S. intelligence agencies are conducting their own reviews to determine what lessons to draw from the Iraq experience. NPR's Tom Jaltam reports.
With 2 months of searching now gone by, this much is clear. Saddam Hussein did not have chemical and biological weapons where U.S. intelligence officials thought he had them. So Army Major General Keith Dayton, preparing a second search effort last week, said it's time for a new approach.
The fact that we've gone to a lot of these sites and haven't found anything that is of value tells us that, okay, we took the top priority sites, didn't find them. So now before we go to other sites, we're going to want to get a bit more analytic assessment of the site done before we go back and try it again.
Dayton, operations director for the Defense Intelligence Agency, suspects Saddam hid or destroyed many of his illegal weapons before the war started. The top Marine general in Iraq went a step further last week, suggesting some of the U.S. intelligence on Iraqi weapons was simply wrong. There's nothing fundamentally scandalous in this admission. Intelligence errors are inevitable. But the discrepancies between truth and allegation in the case of Iraq have drawn special attention. For one thing, if the United States is to strike preemptively against countries known to be a threat, solid intelligence about the threat is vital. And in Iraq, post-war planning also rested on a series of intelligence beliefs, as former intelligence officer Patrick Ling recalls.
You kept hearing over and over again in the run-up to this that such and such would be true, that Iraq was waiting to explode, that the Iraqi military would surrender immediately, that we would be greeted joyously in the streets.
Again, much of that intelligence was proved wrong. The accuracy of U.S. intelligence regarding Iraq will be explored in a CIA review being carried out by retired intelligence officers. Already, some points stand out. One is the importance of remembering that intelligence in wartime is never perfect. Brigadier General Michael Ennis is Director of Intelligence for the U.S. Marine Corps.
Intelligence is supposed to reduce the uncertainty on the battlefield. And I think there are some who think that intelligence is supposed to remove uncertainty altogether. And I don't think that's ever going to happen. Our really good commanders understand that.
But an unprofessional commander might try to cover up his own error of judgment by blaming it on bad intelligence. General Ennis notes that the overall U.S. intelligence capability has improved because of the availability of unmanned spy planes and other new technologies. But he concedes there may have been problems with some of the intelligence gathered in Iraq from human sources, who in turn were passing on information they had heard from someone else.
Human intelligence we relied on fairly heavily to try to determine the extent of the threat in Iraq, because there are a lot of things that imagery and signals just aren't going to provide, and so human is a key factor. But one of the things about human that we're going to be looking at very carefully is who were the sources? What was their political motivation, if any? What was the environment that they were in when they provided the information? And were we in any way intentionally or inadvertently misled through human sources?
Much of the information about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, in fact, came from human sources, defectors who claimed to know about secret weapons programs. Intelligence agents are sometimes skeptical of defectors, suspecting they exaggerate their own knowledge in an effort to curry favor or influence policy. Some CIA officers, for example, were wary of Ahmad Chalabi of the Iraqi National Congress, a politically ambitious exile leader favored by key administration officials. James Woolsey, the CIA director under President Clinton, thinks his old agency is too reluctant to work with exiles like Chalabi. Woolsey says CIA case officers have been trained to recruit and control informants, generally low to middle-level people.
If one gets a very senior person to talk to you from the other side, usually it's a volunteer or a defector. And there have been a number of cases in agency history where they have passed over defectors and senior-level volunteers because they were not as controllable. Obviously, one does not take what defectors and volunteers say at face value, but the solution is to have more of them, not fewer.
Woolsey was a strong advocate of the Iraq War, allied with Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld and other administration officials. Their firm convictions about Iraq's weapons program and their belief that American troops would be greeted as liberators in Iraq put them occasionally at odds with analysts in the U.S. intelligence community. One senior official involved in Iraq intelligence work says he and other analysts often found themselves under pressure from the consumers of intelligence in the Pentagon to produce data that supported the claims being made about illegal weapons, the state of the Iraqi military, and the sentiments of the Iraqi people. He says, quote, "The attitude of the consumers is, we know it exists. If you can't find it, you must be incompetent," unquote. Under the circumstances, the official says, analysts tend to reach and produce shoddy products. Patrick Lang, who served for several years as a Middle East specialist at the Defense Intelligence Agency, says pressure like this is an old problem.
The intelligence community is in the business of describing reality. The policy community and the decision maker are in the business of creating reality. There's an inherent tension between these two groups. But in most circumstances, it is understood that the policy people don't try to bully the intelligence people to have them say what they want, because to do that is to distort the process of decision-making to such an extent that you don't get sound decisions.
The controversy over intelligence focuses on a new Pentagon position, the Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence. Defense Secretary Rumsfeld says he expects the Undersecretary, currently Stephen Cambone, to prod analysts to look at their data on Iraq and other countries in new ways and consider interpretations that may not have occurred to them before. James Woolsey saw this approach while serving with Rumsfeld and Cambone in the 1990s on a commission studying the ballistic missile threat. At the time, intelligence professionals said the United States didn't really face a missile threat. Rumsfeld, Woolsey recalls, was not afraid to challenge their conclusion.
I think that experience probably was important for a number of the people who are now in the Defense Department. It was important for me. I think it was a good example of how outsiders can put the intelligence community through its paces and lead people to take a creative look at what may be the case.
The danger here is that intelligence analysts might get so determined to look creatively and find what may be the case that they engage in what General Ennis of the Marine Corps calls wishful thinking.
I see that all the time, and we in the intelligence community have got to be constantly on the guard against that. It's like my dad used to tell me when I first learned how to deer hunt. He said, as you sit in the woods and look hard enough at the woods, you're going to see deer everywhere. Okay? Sometimes you're certain that something is there, and you almost wish that it was. But we have to be very careful in the intelligence community to be impure to what we see, not what we wish we had seen.
All these questions, what to expect of intelligence, where to collect it, how to judge it, will be covered in the CIA assessment of the intelligence community's performance in Iraq. James Woolsey says he, as a former CIA director, would welcome the appraisal.
There will be a remarkable opportunity to calibrate our intelligence and to look back honestly and say, look, we were off on this and we were on that, and here's why we think that was the case.
CIA Director George Tenet ordered the review last fall, months before the war. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says he urged Tenet to do the review as part of an effort to find out what we knew, what we suspected, and how the Iraqis were able to mislead us. Tom Gelton, NPR News, Washington.